we continue reading stories from the book of Genesis. Listen now for God's holy word. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Canaan. This is the story of the family of Jacob. Joseph, being about 17 years old, was shepherding the flock of his brothers. He was a helper of the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of his brothers to his father. Now Israel loved his son Joseph more than any of his other children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made for him a coat of many colors. But when his brothers saw their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to his son Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock near Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. And they said to him, they saw him coming from a distance. And before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what becomes of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him." Reuben thought that he might rescue Joseph out of their hands and restore him to their father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his coat, the coat of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty, there was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels carrying gum, balm, and resin, on their way carrying it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers agreed. When they passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. And let all God's people say, Amen. Amen. Whether we like it or not, whether we want it to be the case or not, we define ourselves by the stories that we tell about our lives. This is a particular thing about the human creature. We are storytelling animals. In the Bible, or the Bible in large part, is a story. It is a story about a God and God's creation. The Bible in large part is a story, and it is a story about a God and that God's mission. The Bible in large part is a story. Now, it might seem obvious for me to state it that bluntly, that the Bible is a story. But the Bible could have been many other things. For instance, it could have been just theology, just a theological treatise about God. It could have been full of philosophical musings. It could have been strictly and simply a collection of laws and rules and regulations for human life. It could have been a mysterious book of art and poetry and music. The Bible could have been many other things, but what we have in the Bible is largely a story. Our favorite parts of the Bibles are stories. They are stories that since childhood or since we became Christians have gripped our imagination and filled our minds and our imaginations with images. And Jesus, when he taught telling stories, stories that we call parables. The story of the woman looking for a lost coin. The story of a man trying to find guests to come to his banquet. The story of a man entrusting his money to his servants. The story of the sower who goes out to sow seeds. The story of a good Samaritan. and a prodigal son. Jesus knew his human audience. Jesus knew that as human beings, we are storytelling creatures. And so he told stories in order to help teach, instruct, and direct, and inspire us. We are storytelling creatures, and much of the meaning that we make in our lives relates to the stories that we tell about ourselves, and we tell about God, and we tell about the world around us. Much of the meaning we make in our lives relates to the stories in which we find ourselves, the stories in which we have placed ourselves. Our passage for today, as well as the recent headlines about violent white supremacists demonstrating in Charlottesville, Virginia, has made me think hard about the stories that we and the people in our world are telling about ourselves. I got started on this idea of stories earlier this week, before the events took place this weekend in Charlottesville. And our passage for today makes clear that this is God's story. Our passage from the book of Genesis begins with a little note that this is the story of Jacob's family. That line, illumined as it was by God's Holy Spirit, reminded me about the importance of our stories. That line, inspired as it is by God's Holy Spirit, triggered in my heart and in my soul that we need time together to pause and to reflect about the stories that we tell about our lives. For God's people, it has always been important to have stories. For God's people, it was always important to have the stories that we have been reading on and reflecting on this summer from the book of Genesis. These stories told God's people and reminded them of who they were. These stories were the stories of God's promises, God's involvement with their forefathers, with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jacob's sons. These stories told the people of Israel that even if they appeared, compared to the nations of the world, small and unimportant, they were still God's people. These stories reminded the people of Israel that even when they were defeated by larger and more powerful nations, they were still special in God's eyes. They were God's people, a chosen and blessed people. They were a people of promise. They were a people for whom God had plans. These stories told the people that when they were successful and powerful and prominent and prosperous, these stories reminded the people that those blessings were not just for themselves, but for the sake of God's plans and God's purposes. At many times in their history, it would have been easy for the people of Israel to hear and to believe other stories. Many times in their history, it would have been easy to hear and believe lesser stories. Stories less than the story that God had for them, the story that God had put them inside of. And so the people of Israel told the stories of Genesis, the stories of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, to be reminded that they were God's people, chosen and given a mission to be a blessing to all the nations of God's creation. This story gave their lives perspective and meaning. This story encouraged them when they were down, and it put a check on them when they had wealth and power and a place of prominence in our world. Whether we are aware of it or not, we all have stories that shape our sense of who we are and why we are here in this world. These stories tell us and inform us about the actions that we take in our lives and the way that we treat the other people in this world around us. We all have stories, and those stories give our lives meaning. The events that unfolded and are still unfolding in Charlottesville, Virginia, have heightened my belief that it is important that we take time, we as Christians, we as a church, we as people living in this nation, we take time to reflect on the stories that we tell about ourselves and we tell about our world. This week, many of our fellow American citizens have gathered in Charlottesville, Virginia, to demonstrate after that quiet city decided to remove a statue of the Confederate General Robert E. Lee from one of its parks. Hundreds of people traveled from around our country to gather together and chant hateful ethnic and racial slurs against Jews and people of color. They gathered, according to one of the organizers of the demonstration, because they believe that there is a genocide happening against white Americans and their culture within this country. Deadly violence has broken out between these white supremacists and those who have gathered to demonstrate against their message of hatred. As these events have unfolded, there is much that we could say. There is much reflection that these events call us to do. There are many prayers that we could pray in relationship to these events, and there is important work to do. This morning, part of that work is the work of focusing on and reflecting on the stories that we tell about ourselves and the story that we tell about our world. Those who gathered to protest in Charlottesville this week gathered around a certain story that they tell about themselves and our country and God's world. They believe a story that says that people of different races and ethnicities are enemies and are in conflict and competition with one another. These people believe a story that says that our country, this country in which we live, in which we are a part of, is meant either by natural providence or by God's own will to be a country for predominantly white people, and that people of other races should be kept lowly within our society. From where I stand, and from what I know of God's story and God's kingdom, from what I know of the story of Scripture, the story of Jesus Christ, the story of salvation, the story of the church, this story, told by those who gathered in Charlottesville, told by too many people in our country and even within our own area here in New Jersey, it is a story of hatred. God's story, the story that I find in Scripture, the story in which I believe we are invited to find our deepest meaning and our deepest identity, it is a story of inclusive love and peaceful tolerance. God's church and God's people are not a people identified by race or ethnicity. God's people are not a people who are charged with defending or protecting the place and the future of whites or any other race for that matter. Instead, according to Scripture and the gospel story, God's people are a people whom God has gathered together in a great and scandalous sense of diversity. We are a people who find our center not in our race or our skin color or our ethnicity or the place where our families come from. Instead, we as God's people find our center in God's love and in Jesus Christ. The story of Scripture, the story which I believe God invites us to take on as our story, a story which gives us identity and shows us the meaning of our lives. It is a story of inclusion and tolerance. It is a story of peace and love, where walls that used to stand between people who have differences of race and ethnicity, have been torn down so that unity might exist between the people whom God has called to be His people. Those who gathered to demonstrate in Charlottesville, those who are using racial slurs against Jews and people of color, those who allow hatred for Jews and people of color to fester in their hearts, they are people who have become captive to a smaller and a lesser story. It is a story that pits humanity against itself. It is a story that harms and destroys. It is a story that is narrow but dreadfully powerful. And it is a story that runs in sharp conflict to the story that I find in Scripture, a story of God's mission and God's love. Stories are important. We are storytelling creatures. The stories we tell about ourselves give our lives purpose and direction and meaning. They inform our action. They tell us why we are here, and they inform how we live our lives. The people of biblical times told the stories of Jacob's family to remind themselves of who they were. These stories gave their lives perspective. These stories were told to remind them of their importance in times of trouble, and these stories reminded them of their greater mission and responsibilities when they found themselves in places of prominence. There were many other stories to which the people of God could have listened. There were many other stories that they could have told, but they chose to reflect and to find their meaning in the story that God had given them. This morning, I hear God asking us to spend some time, individually and as a church, inspecting the stories that we tell ourselves about our place, about our lives, and about our world. What stories exist in our hearts? In light of the story we have in Scripture, in light of the stories that are being told in the hearts and on the voices of many within our country, I feel God inviting us and imploring us to think carefully, to reflect on the stories that we tell. There are no quick fixes to the problems facing our country, but we can begin the work by inspecting our own hearts. We can begin by examining our own hearts. We can begin by listening with fresh ears to the story that God gives to us in Scripture, and the story that God asks us to place above those lesser stories. So that is my prayer, that God would inspire and empower us for this time of reflection and for this hard work of looking at the stories we tell. May God give us the power this day and in the days to come. Amen.